accomplishing its purpose. Lord, as we worshiped you and as we praised you today, we thank you that you inhabit our praises. Lord, thank you for giving us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Holy Spirit, speak to us right now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So in Numbers 12, and we're going to start in verse 1 in a second, but I looked up the definition of what a spokesman is or spokesperson. It says, it's a person who speaks as a representative of another or others. A mouth, a mouthpiece, or a point person. You know, you are a spokesman or a spokesperson, so to speak. If I say spokesman, you know it includes the women. But we have a voice. We have the voice of truth that they sang about a few minutes ago. And you did a great job, Eddie. Where are you? There you are. You know, I gave him some pointers this morning. He listened to them. That's one thing, to give somebody pointers, but it's another thing for somebody to listen and take him in. And because he did, I saw the Lord's glory all over him. Can you say amen? So we all are a spokesperson for the Lord. And there's a lot of people out in our nation, out in the world, speaking on behalf of Jesus. And I have to say that I don't relate to what some of them saying because it doesn't resound love. Some of it resounds condemnation. But you know what I loved what Pastor Bob was saying? Jesus had compassion. Jesus was passionate. Jesus operated in love. You know, when Jesus reprimanded, he reprimanded the religious people. He loved the one who was considered a sinner or one who had made mistakes or whatever. He loved and he showed compassion towards them. Can you say amen? So as we get into this, in Numbers 12, verse 1, it says, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite woman or wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked. Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was very humble. He was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. Man, that sounds like a father, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like a parent? He says, I want you three, if you have brothers and sisters, I want you two to come to me right now. I want to meet you after church. I'm going to meet you after school or whatever it is. And the Lord was speaking to them as a parent would. And he says, come out here. I want to speak to you. It says, yes, you came in just in time. Sit there and be still. I'll use you as an example. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud, and he stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now I know that scripture is used in so many ways. It's used to, don't you come against your pastor. Amen. No. It's used to say, you know what, you better watch out because God is going to get you if you do this. But I like to take it a step farther. And the Lord was, he was speaking to Miriam and Aaron and saying, Moses is different. I appointed him. I called him out. He is a very humble man. I have a plan for him to be a leader, a spokesperson. And just because the Lord may speak to you or you, there's people put in place to be a leader, to speak. Can you say amen? Without a leader, it's chaos. We need a leader. We need somebody to be in charge. We need somebody to lead the way, somebody to direct. Can you say amen? And we're going to move on to chapter 13. You thought I was going to go and talk about Miriam getting leprosy and stuff. But see, I want to talk to you today about the goodness of the Lord. I want you to understand that even through our lessons and our mistakes that we make, the Lord loves us so much that he wants to give us direction in how to get back on path. Can you say amen? See, I don't need to be beat up because I can beat myself up. Have you ever beaten yourself up when you made a mistake and you felt like, oh, man, I failed God? Do you know what? All I got to do is just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me, Lord. You know me. You know how I am. You know how I am, but I need your help, Lord. Lord, help me. It goes on to say in chapter 13, in verse 1, it says, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving the Israelites. What did the Lord say to Moses? Send some men out to explore the land that I'm giving the people. God had given him direction. He says, I'm going to give you the land. It wasn't up to whether I'm going to get it. The Lord says, I'm going to give the Israelites the land. Has the Lord given you a promise? Has he made a promise to you and you haven't seen it fulfilled? God isn't a man that he shall lie. Can you say amen? God will fulfill his promise. And when the devil's going in your ear, well, God isn't going to do it. You didn't hear from God. You can say, wait a second. I just know. I have this knowing that God is going to do this. God is going to bring me through. God is going to provide. God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. I just know it because of the Holy Spirit within me. Can anybody say amen? And you know what's going on in the world, and we're hearing all kinds of stuff, and we're coming into this season of the presidential election in a couple years, and we're going to hear all this stuff. I've got to hear from the Lord. Can you say amen? I have got to hear the voice of the Lord. All these voices out there, I need to hear the voice of truth. The Holy Spirit will lead us to all truth. Can you say amen? When my body is acting one way, I can remind it that by his stripes I am healed. When my checkbook says one thing, I can remind it that God commands blessings upon me and my storehouses. Can you say amen? When my children are acting up, I can remind my children, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You got to take authority. You are a spokesperson. You lead somebody, whether it's in your job, whether it's in your home, whether it's whatever it is, you are a leader in some way. You are a spokesperson of the Lord. Can you say amen? I was having lunch with my boss and one of my coworkers, and when I first went to work there several years ago, it's been about 6 or 7, maybe longer, and there's this one guy at work there, and he was the nicest guy to me. His name was Eddie. Go figure. Wasn't that Eddie? And I remember how nice he was, and he decided he was going to start his own business. And I really didn't know the people a whole lot there, but he was going to leave, and he was going to start his own business. And the day was his last day. I said, can you come into my office? And he goes, yes. And I forgot about this. And I had given him a scripture, and I had forgotten about that. And so one of my coworkers I was having lunch with me the other day, he says, your name was brought up. I said, well, I hope it's a good thing. And he says, yes, Eddie mentioned that you gave him a scripture on his last day of work, and it ministered. How did he put it? He says, it meant so much to him, more than I would ever know. That was probably 8 years ago. God's word is still working. Even when I'm not aware of it, his word is working. At that point, I was being used to the Lord to be a spokesperson to encourage him in his new venture. See, you can be a spokesperson that can affect somebody's life forever. We can affect somebody's life in a good way, or we can affect somebody's life in a bad way. I want to affect people's lives in a good way. Can you say amen? So I remembered that. So moving on, we're going to shift over. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 27, this is after they went to send the giant, or spies or the people, the men out into the land to explore it. They came back. They gave Moses this account in verse 27 in Numbers 13. It says, we went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live there. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Ammonites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do that. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. And all the people we saw there are great size. What were they doing? They were looking at the circumstances and not at what God said. He said, I'm going to give you the land. And just because you're seeing some giants in your life, just because it's warm in here, just because you've been going through something, you know what? You still are an overcomer. You still are more than a conqueror. You still are victorious. Can you say amen? Last Sunday, you know, I was bragging about my son and how he was worshiping the Lord and had such a wonderful time in worship, and the Lord just touched him. And then Monday, we had a challenging day. But see, the Lord reminded me, he says he's victorious on Sunday, and he's victorious on Monday, he's victorious on Tuesday, he's victorious even when he's having a bad day. Can anybody say amen? Even in the midst of your battle, you are victorious no matter what comes against you, no matter what you might have stumbled across, you are still victorious. You cannot focus on your giant. The devil wanted me to focus on the bad day instead of the awesome day in worship. And I made a decision. Yes, I took care of the situation, but I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to exalt the Lord. And I said, Lord, not only on Sundays is he going to have an awesome day in worship, but Monday through Saturday, he is going to have an awesome day in worship. See, we got to stop looking at the giants and let them cause us fear instead of saying, Lord, you said you're giving me the land. Lord, you said that you would prosper me. Lord, you said that my body is healed. Lord, you said my children are going to grow up to be mighty men and women of God. Lord, you said my house is going to be a house of prayer. Lord, you said that I could do all things through Christ Jesus. Lord, you said I'm seated in heavenly places with Jesus. Lord, you said Grace Fellowship is successful. Can you say amen? Thank you, Lord. Moving on, chapter 14. It says, that night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in the desert. See, we always have a tendency to look back. Oh, those were the good old days. Give me that good old religion. I don't want any of that good old religion. You know what? Can I make a step farther? I really don't care if they put the Ten Commandments back into the buildings. That was part of the law. We live under grace. We need to take Jesus into our capital. We need to take Jesus into our school. I don't have to have something written on a plaque. I am the plaque. You are the plaque. People are reading you. They're reading the Spirit of God inside you. I want people to see the goodness of the Lord, not the bad things. Oh, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is already speaking to me. No, I shall not do those things because I am a child of the Most High God. The Spirit of truth is inside me, reminding me about the goodness of the Lord and how to be victorious and how to be a light even in my capital. Oh, yes. Oh, we got to get the Ten Commandments back in. We got to do this. We got to do this. Just be the light of Christ and stop trying to put people back or put God back in the box. The law was fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled the law. Can you say amen? The law has already been fulfilled. So now I live under grace. And I love hearing all this grace preaching. And we hear religious people, have you ever noticed? Oh, you're going to give them a license to sin. Can I give you a story about a religious spirit? I'm telling you about what's going on. Hallelujah. Well, in my classes, you've already heard my story, in my weekly classes about a religious spirit that happens to rise up on people that are really religious. You know, religious people really aren't into hearing the voice of the Lord. They're about knowing scripture and how to quote it and how to use it to hurt people with, how to beat people up with scripture. That's a religious spirit. A religious spirit will bring up scripture when you're not even talking about something, and they'll just bring it up as an opportunity to knock you down or discourage you or to prove to you that they're better than you. Oh, I know all the Psalms. I pray 2 hours in the morning, and I pray 2 hours in the evening. I walk the little old lady across the street on the way to work, and then on my way back, I walk her across the street. Those are good things. But you know what? The Spirit is leading God's people. And so, anyway, my Wednesday group, and I've been prayed up for that religious spirit. It has a tendency to jump from a person to person. First, it was on this little lady. It's a sweet thing. And then, so she hasn't been there. And then the gentleman started coming. And he started operating. And then it means he takes over the class. And he kills the atmosphere because he's so dogmatic of bringing down the law, telling people their badness, their bad parts of their life. And so I hadn't seen him in a couple weeks. And this week, he came. And I was ready. I was prayed up. I was ready for the Spirit of the Lord to show me what to do. There is something new to some of us. So before I could even start the class, all of a sudden he says, let's turn our Bibles. I said, no, we are not going to turn your Bibles there. The Lord has called me to be a spokesperson for this class. And he says, but I need to let them know. A religious people, I must tell them. They need to know. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. You've been disrespectful to me. You're disrespecting me right now. We are not going to go where you think we should go. We're going to go where the Lord has given me the word for this class. And we're going to go to that direction. And he looked at me. He says, well, I guess I'm going to need to get up and leave. I said, well, I guess you're going to need to get up and leave. If you can't follow the direction of this class, then you need to get up and leave. And he got up and left. And you know what? The people in the class says, thank you for doing that. Because you know what? It was killing the spiritual atmosphere because this man came into the room with an agenda to bring his agenda. And it wasn't life. It was death. Can you say amen? And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord rose in that room, and more people started coming in, and the presence of the Lord was strong in that room. And because, you know what? We've got to take authority over those demons and religious spirits. We have to be led of the Spirit. You are a spokesperson. You're not supposed to just sit around and let the devil walk all over. There comes a time when you got to say, devil, enough is enough. And when somebody gets in your face and says, this is the way it's going to be, talking about your life, you're going to say, no, this is the way it's going to be. Because the Lord is leading me this way and not that way. Can you say amen? So they saw these giants. Instead of listening to the voice of the Lord, they began to see the giants, and they began to think about how they should have stayed back. They should have not come here. But you know, sometimes you got to step out in faith to get the ground that God says you can have. Can you say amen? There's some times that you got to go through something. Everything isn't going to be easy. Sometimes you have to push your way through. Sometimes you have to step over. Sometimes you have to kick your way through. You got to get through because the Lord says, I'm bringing you to the other side. I'm going to the other side. I'm going to take everything the Lord says I can have. I'm going to do whatever, everything the Lord says I can do. Let's do it. Can you say amen? Let's go forth. Let's say, yes, Lord, I'm following you through this. So moving on. Thank you, Lord. If only we had died in Egypt or in the desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. We should choose a spokesperson to take us back into bondage. And you know what? There's many people, even in the church, they have a tendency to admire somebody, to follow somebody, that maybe they're not going in the right direction, and all of a sudden they get pulled off of that path, going in the opposite direction. You must hear the voice of the Lord. You have the Holy Spirit inside you. Every single person in this room, if you have Jesus, accepted Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit inside you. And the Spirit will reveal to you when somebody is lying, when somebody is trying to manipulate you, and somebody's trying to take you down the wrong path. That's the Spirit of Christ inside you. Follow His leading. In verse 5, it says, then Moses and Aaron fell face down in the front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we pass through and explore is exceedingly good. It is good, Pastor Jan. The land is good. The land is good. Your land that the Lord is giving you is good. The land is good. The land is good. The land is good. It is exceedingly good. Don't let your giants keep you from taking the land that God has given you, in whatever that means. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your home. Maybe it's your business. Whatever it is, that is the land that the Lord has given you. Don't let the giants keep you from taking what the Lord has promised you. Can you say amen? Many people are losing out of the promise of God because they're letting the devil take what is rightfully theirs. Continue on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone. I love this. The enemy's protection is gone. The Lord is with you. He will give you the land. You need to know the devil has already lost on the day of Calvary. The devil lost. He has been defeated. We've been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. Start binding up those enemy's schemes and loosing the power of the Holy Spirit. Start taking the land. Start overcoming those giants that are before you. Can you say amen? Say, the giants are coming down. Say, they're not mine, but the devil's. But they're coming down. Because I am the Lord's. I am in the army of the Lord. And the Lord has gone before me. And He's making a way. Say, He's making a way. Thank you, Lord. It says, the protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared. Woo, glory. Come on, you guys. When the enemy comes against you, the glory of the Lord begins to rise. The glory of the Lord begins to rise. You know, we give the devil too much credit. When the enemy comes against us, I can say, Lord, thank you. This is an opportunity for your glory to arise. Your glory is going to appear. People are going to see your glory, Lord. Not only me, but those around me are going to see your glory at work, taking down my enemy. Can you say amen? Ooh, glory. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me in contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of the miraculous signs I have performed among them? I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a great nation, greater and stronger than they. Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear about it. You know what Moses did? He didn't magnify their mistakes. He magnified the goodness of the Lord. See, it's not my job to get revenge. My job is to worship the Lord and say, Lord, you got it all taken care of. You've got it all taken care of. So Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear about it. By your power, you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell the inhabitants of this land about it. They have already heard that you, O Lord, are with these people, and that you, O Lord, have been seen face to face. Ooh, glory. That your cloud stays over them, and that you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. If you put these people to death all at one time, the nations who have heard this report about you will say, the Lord was not able to bring these people into the land he promised them on oath. So he slaughtered them in the desert. Now may the Lord's strength be displayed just as you have declared. Moses spoke to the Lord. Remember, he had a relationship. He saw the form of the Lord. He had a personal relationship with God. And he says, well, God, don't do it this way. Think about what the enemies will think about. He interceded. He intervened on behalf of the people. He was humble. He wanted God's glory to be revealed. So Moses magnified God's goodness and not the punishment. Wouldn't that be nice out in the world that the Christians would magnify the goodness of the Lord instead of pointing to all the bad things? Oh, you're such a bad person. You're not. Oh, remember that mistake you made last week? Do you remember that? I'm just asking. Just kidding. See, the Lord is so good. I'm so glad that he's good to me. I've made mistakes. I make mistakes. And the Lord loves me through my mistakes. He doesn't beat me up. He leads me. He loves me through my mistakes. I believe the main thing, the most blessed thing that we could do unto the Lord is learn from our mistakes and say, you know what, Lord? I made a mistake. But I know, Lord, you're leading me through this. Lord, I want to go your path, and I want to make sure. Isn't it amazing? Have you received mercy? Has anybody received mercy? We've all received mercy. Isn't it funny? When we come into salvation, it's by mercy, and it's his mercy and his loveness, loving kindness. His goodness leads us into salvation. Then we get saved, and then we get a chip on our shoulder. And then we start pointing at everybody's sin and what they do wrong. Oh, man, I'm so glad I'm not like you back there. I'm so glad I'm not like you or like you. Oh, man, the Lord is going to do this to you. When the Lord showed me, I'm going to just speak about me. He showed me so much mercy. Why won't I operate in mercy as the Lord has showed me mercy? Why isn't the church operating in such mercy that the Lord has showed them? Can anybody say amen? I'm ready for the love of Christ to flow through the land so that many will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. You know, statistics talk about the Christian faith. Less and less people are coming into the Christian faith. They're joining other faiths. I wonder why. I think it's because of lack of love. Love. Love covers. Love never fails. Love. You can just write this down. 2 Chronicles 20:20. We know the story about Jehoshaphat. He was a spokesperson of God. It says, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his word, and you will be successful. Say, I'm successful because I'm listening to the word of the Lord. I'm doing what the Lord says. Say, Lord, give me ears to hear your spirit. I have chosen to obey. Thank you, Lord. So after consulting the people, remember there was a vast army, three armies was coming against this kingdom. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. They didn't go out and say, army, enemy, you're coming down. No. They went, the singers and the worshipers went in front of the army. They didn't go behind the army. They went in front of the army, and they declared the Lord's love and goodness endures forever and ever and ever. And the rest of the story goes on that says that God set up ambushes. God himself set up ambushes, and the enemies annihilated themselves, that they didn't have to lift a hand towards the enemy. The enemy annihilated themselves. All they had to do is just go out and see what God had done. And then they saw the enemy defeated. Then they went in for the plunder. They went out and got the goods that were on all the dead men. They went out and got all the goods, all the valuables. It says it took 3 days to bring them back. See, our God is a good God. We need to worship him more, and God will go into battle on our behalf, where we just got to go in and take the goods. Write this down, John 15:15. Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Listen, everything that Jesus hears of the Father, he reveals to us. He's the great spokesman for the Father. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Even, you've heard my story, even the big mess that I was, God chose me. Even the big mess that you were, God chose you. You didn't choose him. So when people come against you and say, you can't be a Christian, you can say, you know what? God chose me. I didn't choose him. He chose me. I just agreed to say, yes, Lord, come on in. Move in with me, Lord. Now, that's a story in itself. That's a sermon in itself. Ask the Lord to move in with you. See, things are so turned around out there. Everything's about works. You got to do this to get this. You got to do that for the Lord to love you. No. Just listen and move his direction. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I'm putting it to the test. I'm going to stand on that word. You said, Lord, that whatever I ask the Father in your name, and I know that the things I ask, I seek your will, Lord God. So I'm going to ask what you have put in my heart. You know the desires of my heart, and I'm pliable to you. What will matter and bring glory to God? And then it's interesting. Then he goes on to say, he says, this is my command. Love each other. Woo. Love each other. Love each other. In closing, 2 Corinthians, you can write this down. 5:20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Jesus. You're right. You have been made righteous through the blood of Jesus. Do you do everything right? That's a question. I already asked it yours. Do you get it always right? No, but it isn't about your doing, your works. What matters is because the blood of Jesus was shed for us, and it causes us to become righteousness through the blood of Jesus. So I don't want to sin because of his righteousness, because I'm in a right standing with the Father. I want to please my Lord, so I want to do it his way. I don't want to go there. I want to go there. I want to go with him. So yes, it isn't a battle against sin. sin. The battle isn't mine. It's the Lord's. I am in a relationship with Jesus Christ. My relationship with him is to please him, to honor him with love. He says, if you love me, you'll obey me. To know that you are a follower of mine is by the love that you show towards one another will show the world that you're a follower of mine. So this morning, if you're able to stand to your feet, say, I'm a spokesperson. I got it right. You are a voice of the Lord. You have a voice. Use your voice towards your circumstances, towards your situation. Well, I guess we're going to lose the house. Well, I guess you are, because you're speaking that language, and the devil knows that, and he's going to honor your words. I'd rather God honor my word of faith than the devil to say, oh, he opened the door. I guess you're going to lose everything. I guess you're going to die. I guess you're going to lose your children. I guess you're going to do this. You know what? The devil will get in agreement with you, but I want the Lord. I want to get in agreement with the Lord. Can you say amen? With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. I believe everybody's saved today. If you're not and you want to ask Jesus into your heart, if that's you, lift up your hand. Is there anybody? Does anybody need more of Jesus? If you do, lift up both hands. Amen. I got both my hands up. I need more Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word that went forth this morning. We thank you, Lord God, right now, that every single person in this room has ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. From this moment on, we're not going to let people condemn us and bring us down. But Jesus, you said that you're the lifter of our heads, that you'll lift us out. And I thank you, Lord, that you're lifting us out everything that pulls us down. For those of you who are sick in body, whatever there's attacking your body, just lift up your hands and receive right now. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, you've been made whole. Whatever your situation is, your circumstances, right where you are, say after me, I take authority over that situation. When I go home, I have authority in my house. Say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I don't need a prayer cloth. I don't need somebody to come and pray for me, because I am the voice of the Lord. Say, when I go home, the Holy Spirit goes with me. He knows what's going on, and he's showing me how to speak against those things and how to call things in, how to cause things to happen. Say, today, I decided I am going to look for the evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, in my home, in my business, in my family, that there's evidence that I'm going to see. Say, I'm going to see it because I believe it. I am a child of the Most High God. I am a spokesperson for Jesus Christ. Nothing is going to stop me from taking the land that God has given me. Say, today, Lord, pour out a fresh anointing upon my life. Body, listen up. You're healed. You're already healed. Mind, you're alert. You're thinking right. Today, I'm leaving this building victorious. I'm taking the land, the goods of the land. Get ready, because you ain't seen nothing yet. Today, Lift up your hands. Pour out a fresh anointing upon your people. Holy Spirit, breathe, breathe, breathe on us.
Release right now the glory of the Lord. Shut out a kundara, shut out a kundara. He did a shut out a kundara, shut out a kundara.
Why? Why? It's because you're heading in the right direction. That's why. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to give the enemy any glory. You ask why? The Lord says, because you're heading in the right direction. Oh, outpouring of your spirit, Lord. Come on, lift up your hands this morning. God is doing something. There's an infusion taking place right now. An infusion right now. That old stuff is being pulled out. And there's a transfusion being taken place right now in your spirit, man. Transfusion. Transformation. Hallelujah. The caterpillar is turning into the wonderful butterfly. This is season for transformation. This is a season. July is your Christmas is in July this year. Your Christmas, your gifts are being opened up in July this Christmas. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are being opened up in Christmas in July. You will remember that this July is your Christmas. Grace Fellowship, you're successful. Lord, I thank you from the north, south, and the east, and the west. The people are being drawn in by your spirit. And Lord God, wherever we go, they say, I want what you got. I want to go where you go. Lord, I thank you right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, make some declarations. Make some declarations. What is your declarations? You're not going to wait until New Year's Eve to make some these declarations. This is the best year ever. Yes. New day. Hallelujah. But it's not just the new. We don't want just the new all the time. I need the middle and I need the finale. I thank you, God, that we've come through the new into the middle. And now we're at the latter part of the finale. I believe the finale, the time of harvest is the finale. Go get the harvest. The finale. You're in the finale part of your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, right now I seal it. I seal your word. I seal what you've done this morning by the Spirit. By the blood of Jesus. And right now, as we leave this place, we leave changed, different, refreshed, renewed, and recharged. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be dismissed.
With your people singing praises, I love to stand and rejoice, lift my hands and raise my voice. I love to be in your presence with your people singing praises. I love to stand and rejoice, lift my hands and raise my voice. You set my feet a dancing. You filled my heart with song. You give me reason to rejoice, rejoice. I love to be in your presence with your people singing praise.